Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Well, let's just start from a verse that we've been reading quite a bit. Ephesians chapter 1. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Can I just, you know, there are some times when we believe, and we in our comparison that we do sometimes with other people, you know, that we believe, you know, that in school, for instance, you know, we've always been poor students, and then, you know, but there's other people that are really smart. So you kind of grow up with this thing about understanding, right? That other people can always understand better than you can, or sometimes you think that you can understand better than everybody else because of this thing. Because you were taught in school, you either excelled really well in school or you didn't do real well in school. But can I just point out something that he says? There is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that has nothing to do with elementary school, nothing has to do with high school, has nothing to do with college, has nothing at all to do with Bible school, right? Nothing. It doesn't have anything to do with any of those things. You can go to Bible school and not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, and doesn't mean that you know the Lord, right? And you could attend the Bible school and go through it and do it. And that doesn't qualify you to know. Even though people feel like they know, you know, so when he says that he would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. So that means if we have the spirit of God on the inside of us, we have the spirit of God, which is the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. So he's the only one. He's the only one. And it's interesting that he's speaking to people that are saved, right? In other words, his letter here to the Ephesians, he's talking to people that know the Lord, right? And he says that the Lord would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, right? But why is that? Because when someone knows the Lord, right, but leans to their own understanding and does not lean, right, on the spirit on the inside of them, they're not receiving the knowledge of him through the spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? They're receiving the knowledge of him through how good they can memorize things and how well, so some people overqualify themselves when they're not qualified and don't know, and some people underqualify themselves, kind of leaving, you know, there's always this kind of thing, you know, and even in relationships and in family, like, oh no, like he's the smart one, right? Or he's the one that always gets it, or, you know, and we disqualify ourselves because we think that there is, that for to do something like this, to know the Lord, that you can actually lean on your own understanding to be able to know it. But can I tell you something? One of the biggest hindrances in Christianity, in your Christian life, is your own understanding. That's one of the largest, biggest hindrances in your life, right? Is to lean on your own understanding. And I'll show you why. So he talks about this, and he says that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, right? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness. And that word, I think, is really a cool, important word today. The exceeding, but not just that it's a lot, right? But from the, and it is great. And I get that. Exceeding greatness, those two words are talking about how great it is, the power of God, right? But also the thing, it's excelling something, right? It's excelling something. It's going past something, right? The power of God functioning in our lives is going right over something and doing something. It's doing something regardless of something else, right? Regardless of something else. So he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe? So you see just the qualification? Just faith in the Lord. Just faith in Jesus, not how well you think you've understood all the gifts of the Spirit, not how well you think that you know certain things, right? Even right now, right, the Lord was speaking certain things, right, through Pastor Mike, and in one of the instances there, right, it's going right past his understanding, right? Like, you don't have to know, you don't have to even understand the things that the Lord is saying, right? How many things were written in Scripture that the men that penned it didn't even have a clue about what they were writing, right? Like, we don't really believe that, right? That everything that Paul wrote, he completely, totally had revelation of everything that he wrote, because he said things that were contrary to the revelation of what he wrote, right? He did things. Things happened in his life, right, that were contrary to the revelation that he wrote. He died. He physically died. That's contrary to the revelation that he wrote, right? We don't understand fully everything that the Lord is doing, because here's the thing. In order for the Lord to work in our bodies, right, and through our bodies, it's not about our intellect and how smart we are. It's not whether we understand every single thing that he's doing. It's our faith in the Lord, right? Our faith in the Lord and the knowledge, listen, the knowledge of the Spirit of God that we have on the inside of us and his ability to be able to do. You know, I haven't been able to escape the one thing, you know, when the Lord asked the prophet and he said, can these bones live? Or when he asked Martha, he says, do you believe that I can do this? Right? Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe that I can raise the dead? Do you believe that I can do it? He didn't ask her if she understood how he was going to do it, right? He didn't ask her, you know, what is the Greek word for this? He just said, do you believe that I can do this? That's all. Do you believe who I am? Do you believe who I am? That I give life to that which is dead, right? Not how you do it and how you're going to bring it to pass. And are you going to do it through the laying on of hands? Are you just going to call them out? Are you going to go in there? Are you going to do it with pieces of the earth? How the Lord was going to do it. You know, when he told the prophet, he said, can these bones live? He said, Lord, you know. Lord, you know, right? So the thing is, you know, when you know that you have on the inside of you, because here's a real general statement, right? You have the Spirit of life on the inside of you. So in you, when you begin to understand life in you, that which is dead, right, can be resurrected. And that which needs life, in other words, that needs to be strengthened, to be empowered, can receive that life. So whether it's something that's dead, or whether it's something that's dying, or whether it's something that's corrupting, all of that comes from the same power on the inside of us, right? He says, and what is the exceeding, it's excelling something, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? But listen, because this is so important. It's according to... See, all of these things that the Lord has been talking over and over again about the power of God in us, the power of God in us, the power of God, the power of life and death, right? We spent a long time talking about life and death, the power of life and death, and even about, right, the valley of dry bones. But here he says, listen, that power is towards us, is to usward who believe, and believe that faith is just a qualification. The same thing Pastor Mike was reading from Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2, where he said, right, that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. He's saying the exact same thing here. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us, or to usward, right, who believe. But look at this. It's according to, we were talking on Sunday about how, you know, reading something and see yourself excluded from it, but seeing God working there. He says, it's according to the working of his mighty power. It's according to the working of his mighty power. So the power of God is on the inside of us. Look at all that it's according to. It works according to that power in us and just in us. Let me bring you somewhere else. If we can go to... Ephesians chapter 3. Let's read 11 and 12 and then we'll jump. How about that? Look at verse number 11. It says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, and I just read that so we would get the in whom that he's talking about, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access, right? Just like the Romans chapter 5 that we just read a little bit ago. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, just again, by faith in him. Just our faith in Jesus, right? Just our faith in Jesus. You remember that little word, God is so good, that little word that we read several services ago, that it would overtake you, right? Overtake you, that by your faith in the Lord Jesus, that these blessings would overtake you, right? Because you believe, overtake you. Come upon you, it said, and overtake you. Come upon you and overtake you. You know what happens when you begin? When you begin to not lean on your own understanding, right, and you begin to just acknowledge the Lord, the Lord has permission and then now access, right, into your body and into your dealings, right, to be able to do, you know, we're going to find that in a second, to be able to do exceedingly, because this is what the exceeding power of God exceeds, right, to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above what? Above all that you can ask, which comes from here, and above what you can think, which comes from here, right? Above what you can ask or think. When you ask according to what you think, you're leaning on your understanding, right? When you ask according to what you think. Because we people do that sometimes, right? We ask God according to what we think he should do, right? We ask God and we tell him what we think he should do. But the awesome thing is God knows what to do, right? And in us has already given to us, he's deposited on the inside of us the exceeding greatness of that power, right? So when you would just begin to acknowledge the Lord and allow the Lord to do in your life whatever and however he wants to do something, whatever and however the Lord wants to do something, right? If the Lord wants to say something, if the Lord wants to perform something through you, whatever it is that he wants to do, he has access and permission to do that, right? Because of your acknowledgement of him, right? Because of your acknowledgement of him. Look at what he says, that we have boldness and access with confidence, it says, by faith in him. And then let's jump down. 16 is okay. Look at what he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And again, it's on the inside of us. The riches is the abundance, right? The abundance, the excellence, the riches of what? The glory of God. Where's the glory of God? On the inside of you. Christ Jesus, right, is the glory of God, and his spirit dwells on the inside of you. That's where the glory of God is, right? You don't have to be in a service and see a cloud to see the glory, right? The glory is on the inside of you. The glory of God is right in you. And he says, look at what he says. He says, 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, or to be empowered, right? Obviously, like, what is it that empowers? The power of God empowers you, right? To be empowered, it says, or to be strengthened with might by his spirit, right? By his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now, I'm just going to tell you something that's just a little bit of opinion, okay? And just a little opinion. But that verse there that says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, if you actually read it, where are we? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Could you go to the Young's Little Translation real quick? See, where it's talking about Christ dwelling is in your heart, right? In your mind. And you could almost kind of see that, right? Because he's talking about knowing the Lord, right? And you can make that into something. But here's the thing, though. He says that Christ may dwell through the faith in your hearts, that Christ may dwell, right? So just if you just kind of read it, that Christ may dwell with like a comma there, right? That Christ may dwell through the faith in your hearts, right? So because to me, the point of what he's talking about there, and this is a little bit of opinion here, but because I don't know that either one of them are making a difference into where we're getting to. But here's the thing, that what he's talking about is the presence of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And it's through faith in Christ that you have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. So to me, what he's really talking about there is that through faith, Christ dwells on the inside of you, right? And he says that then you being rooted and grounded in the love of God, right? Right, which is faith in him, right? Which he's talking about, faith. And we can go back to the King James Version, verse number 18. Right, that through that faith in Jesus, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Look at what he starts saying here, that you may know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So you see, when you hear things like that, you ever wonder like what that means when he says that it passes knowledge? Because look at what he says. I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll put them together. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So you have the fullness of God on the inside of you, right? And filling is a supply of the Spirit of God outwardly, right? To be filled with all the fullness of God does not mean on the inside, right? You already have that. You don't get filled with the Spirit and then you got to get fullness in you, right? You already have the fullness of God on the inside of you. But what he's saying is, he said that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So if you have the fullness of God on the inside of you, right, to be filled with the fullness of God is to have the Spirit of God supplied unto your body and outward, right? Your salvation worked out. And it says, so he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So let me show you something. He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So can you see that for a second? He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And then he says, to know the love, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So he says, to know the love of Christ. And then he says that it passes knowledge. So how do you know if it passes knowledge, right? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Because when somebody tells you, you know what, you just really have to know, then you check your understanding and you say, well, do I know, right? But he's not saying that we would know with our understanding, because that's the very thing that the Lord tells us not to lean on, right? But he says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So how can you know from a human standpoint, how can you know something that passes your knowledge? Because what we would say is, right, when you hear something and somebody tells you, oh, that it goes over your head, if something went over your head, then that means you didn't understand it, right? Because it went over your knowledge or it went over your understanding, right? So where he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, what he's talking about there is the same spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, right? If you know something that passes your knowledge, the only way that you knew it, listen, the only way that you knew it is that you didn't lean to your own understanding and you allowed the spirit of wisdom and revelation in you to teach you. So you didn't try to understand something, you just let him teach you. Listen, when we were talking about rest, there is an unrest of activity that we could have, right? Where we're trying to solve everything ourselves physically. Instead of acknowledging the Lord, we're going to fix everything. But there's also an unrest in our hearts and in our minds, right? Like when you hear something or you see something and you start to worry, and worry is caused from an aggressive trying to figure something out, right? An aggressive trying to figure something out. That's an unrest in your soul, right? Because you're gonna lean, right, on what you know, what you've heard. Has this happened before? Did my mommy warn me about this? Is this something that I've been conscious of before? Did it happen to me? Did it happen to a friend? Can I talk to different people about this, right? So that's unrest. But when we can, when Jesus said to come to him so we can find rest for our souls, right? That's really the beginning of the things that the Lord was teaching us, right? Because before you can have rest of physical activity, of you having impulse to always do something, it begins with having a rest in your soul, right? To be able to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and allowing him to direct you. Listen, the Lord says that he teaches us that those that are led, in Romans chapter 8, he says that if you are led by the Spirit, right? Those that are led by the Spirit do not fulfill, it says, the lust of the flesh. It says that we, right, that are led by the Spirit of God, that we are no longer, we're no longer, it says, he says that we are not those that live by the flesh, right? That walk by the flesh, right? We don't live by the flesh, but we live by the Spirit of God. So we're not in the flesh, is actually what he's saying. We're not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit if we have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us, right? So here's the thing, that why is it that those who are the sons of God, is what he calls us in Romans 8, that those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God? To be led by the Spirit of God, right? That means that what he's talking about there is that if we're led by the Spirit of God, he's the one that shepherds our heart, right? So we're acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways, not trying to figure something out in our mind, right? And here's the beauty of learning to do that, is that the working of God, which is the great things, the things that he does by the exceeding greatness of his power, are things that pass our knowledge, right? Are things that pass our knowledge, are things that we couldn't even fathom to in and of ourselves ask or even think them. to ask or think him. Look at what he says about, again, he says, and to know, in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, right? So we wouldn't have been able to know about the love of God towards us in Christ Jesus if it were not by the allowing ourselves to be taught by the Spirit of God so that we could begin to understand, right? And he says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It says, now unto him that is able, and you know what, also that could be making reference, depending on how he's saying it, to the initial fullness of God that you receive, and then also us being filled then, right? Because that's a continuous tense verb when he says, be being filled with the Spirit of God. And it's not that we always have to continually be receiving the Spirit of God into us, right? But it's a receiving into our lives, right? Into our bodies. So he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able. You see what happens? Now unto him that is able. So I can read that and I can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that is able. Right? He told Martha, do you believe that I'm able? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? You believe that I'm able to do this. So with the knowledge of God that you have of who he is, do you believe that he's able, right? It's not about knowing all the inner workings necessarily, even though that's not a bad thing when the Lord gives you insight into those things, but it's not about knowing all the inner workings about how the Lord is going to do it, right? But he says that to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse number 20, now unto him that is able, right? You could almost hear yourself praying that, Lord, unto you that are able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I can ask or think. And you do this, Lord, according to the working of your mighty power in me. You see how you told, listen, you understand about acknowledging the Lord? You just excluded yourself from everything there and said that you were dependent on him for everything. You took yourself out of the equation, your power, your knowledge. Were you hearing like little bits and pieces of the things that Miss Lindsay was praying about? It's not about our power. It's not about what we have. It's not about how much we know, right? But he says that it's according, listen, this is the second time that he has said according to the power that works in us, right? So in your acknowledging God, right, in all of your ways, the working of God, right, you know what that is? Activity. Let's go to Romans 8 because we're talking about it a little bit. Romans chapter 8. Let me show you. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 8. And I know that's jumping right into the center of something, but that's okay. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, right? And we know already because we know what, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you know that what it's talking about there, if you're in the flesh, it's talking about a person that doesn't have faith in Jesus, right? If you're in the flesh, it's talking about a person that does not have faith in Jesus. And that's why it says, but you're not in the flesh, because he's talking to believers. So to be in the flesh is to not have faith in Jesus and not have the Spirit of God. And he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. He says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And also, obviously, he's still in the flesh. And if Christ be in you, which thank God he is, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, it's an important thing to know, right? What we were talking about was activity, right? It says that the body is dead, so the body is inactive. So that's talking about, right, that it's talking about body, but it's also, right, in our mind, right, we're not ruled by a carnal mind anymore, right? The body is dead, which means inactive. And if the Spirit is life, that means that he's the one that is active. So a body that's inactive and a spirit that is active, right? And it says then, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We've read that many times before. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. We were talking about the life before. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do, and this is important, this is what I wanted to get to in verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body. Watch. Through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify the deeds of the body. So what he's saying is, right, that we have our body, right, has been crucified with Christ, right? We are, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So our bodies are of no, the body is dead, meaning it's of no use. It can produce no fruitfulness, right, on its own. It can produce no fruitfulness. So if it can't produce any fruitfulness on its own, what he's saying is, if by the spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, in other words, the work of it. So how do you do that? How do you, by the Spirit, right? This is how I'm saying it. How do you, by the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body? How do you, by the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, right? You can't. You by yourself, can't mortify the deeds of your body. But the Spirit of God in you can mortify the deeds of your body, because what happens? As the Spirit is active, you acknowledge the Lord and the Spirit of God is active through you. What's happening? Your body is not working, right? Your flesh is not working, right? But the Spirit of God is using your body, right? Again, we've said it before, that the body is the Lord and the Lord is for the body. So what, as the Spirit of God is active, look at what he's saying there. He's saying that in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And you can read, listen, you could read like Galatians chapter 5 and you'll see what all of the works of the flesh are. And Miss Lindsay was praying about even the good things, right? Leaning in, the point that she was making while she was praying was, and I believe obviously that was the Lord saying, like, when you lean on yourself and those things that you're good at, what are you leaning on? You're leaning on your flesh. So even in good or bad things, and things that you think that you're good at or that you're bad at, right? Leaning on the flesh, in which we should have no confidence, right? Paul said, wrote that we should have no confidence in the flesh, right? He says here in verse 13, again, he says that if you live after that flesh, doing good or bad things, things that you're good at, things that you're bad at, it says you shall die. Why? Because all of those things in Galatians chapter 5 are the fruits of the flesh. And then he describes what? The fruit of the Spirit in the same chapter. So the fruit of the activity of the Spirit are all of those things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, right? Faith, gentleness, temperance, all of those things. Temperance. And temperance is not among the small things there, right? Because temperance is the Lord tempering your body. In other words, the impulses, the desires in your life, right? Tempered by the Lord. That's a big thing. People don't talk about that very much, right? But temperance is a huge fruit, right? A huge thing about, I mean, people translate it self-control. Right? And that would be a crazy thing, right? If you could just control yourself. But obviously, that wouldn't be a fruit of the Spirit if you're controlling yourself. So temperance is more accurately, right, translated, where he's tempering all those things, all the impulses, right? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to impulse, right? So he's saying, so here he's saying, talking about the works of the flesh or of the Spirit, he says, in verse 13 again, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die, which are the fruits of the flesh, all lead that way. But if through the Spirit, it says, you do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. What is he saying? Just like he said before, that he prays that we would receive life, that our mortal bodies would be quickened, right, by the life of the Spirit on the inside of us. As what he's saying is, if you allow the Spirit in you to work, you receive life, you live, you receive life. You live, right? You receive life, you live. So how do you do that? You do that by the same way that Jesus asked Martha. He says, do you believe that I can do this? Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? What comes with the glory of God? The life of God comes with the glory of God, right? So he says that you'll, if by the flesh, it says you'll die, but if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So he talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh, and then he calls it being led by the Spirit. But now, what have people normally made that being led by the Spirit to be? That he kind of tells you stuff, right? That's being led by the Spirit, that he tells you certain things, like don't go to work today, stay home. And you know what? Those are more gifts of words of knowledge than they are what he's talking about here, being led by the Spirit. What he's talking about here is, he says those that are led by the Spirit, right? Those that are led by the Spirit, I'll find it again. 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He's talking about there those that mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit, right? So how do you mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit? You're led by the Spirit of God, right? How are you led by the Spirit of God? You allow the Lord to do what? To shepherd your soul. To shepherd your soul. That's how he leads, right? To shepherd your soul. You listen to the Lord. You put faith in God. And what happens? Your body is not active, but the Spirit of God then is active with your body. See, to the onlooker, it may look the same. You know, so-and-so is doing something because they see you doing it. But there is a difference in activity, right? Whether the activity is born of the flesh or whether the activity is born of the Spirit. It may look like two people moving, but they're not the same thing. And the fruit is not the same thing either, right? The activity could be the same, but the fruit is not the same. So it's good to see that. He says there that those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's good. That's good. Let me bring you to one more verse while we wrap up here, right? Let's go to Philippians real quick. Can I give you a real easy verse that's real awesome with this, right? All things are possible to him that what? Believes, right? All things are possible to him that believes. Why are all things possible to him that believes? Why is that? That everything is possible to me because I believe. Why? Because the activity of the Spirit of God, the exceeding greatness of the power of God on the inside of you, right? All of the things that come that you have access to because of the Spirit, what happens? Are, if you could say, for lack of a better word, right? Activated, which comes from the word active, right? Activated in you by what? By just your faith in the Lord Jesus, that's it. Acknowledging him. Acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll direct your paths. What is he doing? Shepherding your soul. What happens when he shepherds your soul? The Spirit of God in you then can be active, right? Right? All things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. Yeah, let's go. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Look at what it says. For it is God which works in you. You see the emphasis, right? According to the power that works in you. So it's according to the power that works in me. If you ask me, you know, how does the Lord do miracles, right? We know that it's through the hearing of faith. But how does it happen? Because you hear is not that makes it, that's the happening of it, right? But that's our part, right? We're acknowledging the Lord. We listen to him. But it is what? According to the power that works in us. But do you see how that just totally excluded my effort, right? It put to death the deeds of the flesh, right? Because it's according to the power that works in me. It's according to the power that works in me. It's not how strong I am. It's according to the power that works in me, not how smart I am, right? So my degree does not qualify nor disqualify me, right? My intellect and my own personal ability to learn and memorize things does not limit me or excel me at all. The things that I thought were gain used to be gain in this world, right? You count them as loss for the ability to be able to lean not on your own understanding, but on the Spirit of God on the inside of you, right? It's worth all that. Why? Because for the excellency of the knowledge of him, which can only come if we allow him to surpass our understanding, right? To surpass our understanding. He says, for it is God, in verse 13, Philippians 2:13, for it is God, it says, that works in you, it says, both to will and to do. Both to will and to do. What is that? Both to will and to do. To will is, right, the desire of God, right? The desire of God, which Galatians chapter 5 says is contrary to the desire of the flesh, right? So he says, for it is God that works in you. He's working in me. He's working in you. He's working in you two things, the will and the doing, right? You see what was Paul's dilemma before that he describes in Romans chapter 7? He had the will, he agreed up here, right? In his mind he agreed, but didn't find the power to do it. So see, his frustration is, if somebody can deliver me from this body, if someone can deliver me from this body, which is the flesh is the weakness of the law, right? If someone could deliver me from this body, right, who could do that? Who could deliver me from this body? He says that it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let me show you something else. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'll show you one more thing and then we'll wrap up here. in Philippians 4 and verse number 6, right? We were talking about concerns and worry and unrest in our heart, right? He says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing, right? Sometimes in your thinking, you'll call that irresponsible, right? When you're not taking care, but that's because we've associated worry with caring for something, right? You think that if you worry about it because you're thinking about it a lot, that makes you a responsible person because you're worried about what's going to happen to it. But that's not so, right? That's not so. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. The peace of God, listen, which passes all understanding. If you had unrest about something and someone said something to you that was a clear comfort about what you were going through, you would have received comfort by what you understood. And if somebody was talking to you in a language that you didn't understand, but they were telling you something very comforting, but it was in a language you didn't get, right? It would go right over your head, right? And you would receive no comfort from that. But listen to how it is that he works, right? He says that when you're not careful for it, when you're not careful for it, so in order for you to not be full of care or full of worry, that means you have to be doing what? You have to be seeking the kingdom of God. You have to be looking to him who is in you. You would be acknowledging him, right? That's Matthew chapter 6. So he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens is when you acknowledge him in all of your ways, you're not worrying, but you're acknowledging him. It says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So you can't even have the peace of God. Why? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. We can't receive a fruit of the Spirit while we're still leaning on our understanding. Leaning on our understanding is what brings care. But he says, be careful for nothing, right? Be careful for nothing. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter, right? Whatever the thing is that causes concern, and the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our hearts will be what? Kept.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.